From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds, and this is The Conversation. There's a prediction of another challenging wildfire season this year, and it could be made worse by the federal sequester. It sliced 7.5% from the Forest Service budget. It's going to cut the number of firefighters, and it's also going to cut the amount of money available for preventive measures like thinning and controlled burns. Joining us to talk about that is Peter Goldmark, Washington State's Commissioner of Public Lands. He's responsible for nearly 13 million acres of state-run forest land, and he also runs the state's largest fire department to deal with wildfires. So this is a team effort. You've worked with other states, and the federal government, of course, also has jurisdiction over a lot of land. And one of your team members, the federal government, is going to be hampered by this. How's it going to affect your ability to fight wildfires?
Well, we, the state, particularly DNR, have the primary responsibility of responding to wildfire on both private and state land. And we will continue to do that. The legislature has been very supportive of our efforts. We had a $30 million supplemental budget request to cover expenses from the last fire season, which was very destructive, as we all can remember. Looking forward, we're staffed up very well. We're anticipating, based on a National Weather Service forecast, a hotter than normal fire season, hotter and drier. So we are well prepared. We have over 1,200 staff on hand. We have over 100 fire engines on hand and 6 helicopters. And by the way, we're building another helicopter to augment our existing helicopter fleet. We will respond on state land, and if we're closest forces, we will respond on federal land as well, and they vice versa. So as you were saying, we're concerned about a team member who will be not as effective as they were on the past, but we're going to do our job, and we're going to support them as best we can.
Of course, you don't know what's going to happen with the wildfire season, but there have been quite a few already.
There have been 97 wildfires already. Early May was unusually hot and dry, and we had wildfires here in western Washington, which is really unusual. And what was a little bit alarming was they burned very vigorously. The lighter fuels were very dry and very flammable. So one fire burned over 100 acres and the other burned 60 acres here. And there were many fires in eastern Washington as well. So we don't know what the fire season is going to be like. We're going to be as well prepared as we can, and we're going to support the federal government as best we can as well.
And you were mentioning that one of the things that you've been counting on the federal government for are those planes that will drop fire retardant over the forest fires. We see them in the television news programs, and there's going to be fewer of those available to you?
And so we call those large air tankers, and some may know them as borate bombers, but they're large, often four-engine, prop-driven, and now more in a more modern term, they're actually converted passenger jets that are used. For instance, 10 years ago, they had 44 of those large air tankers under contract. Today, there are only 8 large air tankers under contract. So we're concerned about the lack of adequate supply of those large air tankers. If large fires break out, those can be a very important component of the suppression effort.
The legislature is still in session. Do your concerns rise to the level of asking them for more money now, or would you just take it from a rainy day fund down the road should you need it?
So we are usually funded after the fact. As I mentioned earlier, we, in our supplemental request from last season, the legislature is funding us at a $30 million level. I should mention that the governor has taken a proactive step of having part of the National Guard trained so that if necessary, those ground troops would be available. They're going to be trained in mid-June to support the effort if needed. The way the call-up goes, we use our staff, DNR staff first, and we work with all municipal districts as well. So there's a local and coordinated state response. If needed, we call up other states. If they have excess capacity, they can support us. And in the event that we really need extra capacity over that, we can call on our neighbors to the north in British Columbia. We have a Northwest Compact Agreement. And then if needed, we can call on National Guard troops. So we're well staffed from a ground support basis. Engines, large air tankers, those can play a role, and hopefully the federal government will have enough of those for this season.
Well, it's one thing to put out the wildfires and the forest fires, but you'd like to prevent them in the first place, and there are measures that are taking place to thin the forest and also to sort of create areas that are safer. What about the federal budget cuts and your ability to do that?
Well, and that is a concern, because if it is a bad wildfire season, often the Forest Service will use up their suppression budget and then often, sometimes, unfortunately, eat into other program budgets to support their suppression. So there is some concern that if it were a bad fire season, they might actually go and have budget cuts on the proactive prevention side. FireWise and other measures that reduce fuel loads in the forest can help cut down the severity of wildfires and the threat that those fires may pose to local communities. So we're concerned about that eventuality. But it'll all play out this summer. The forecast, as I said earlier, is for a hot, dry summer. They're not always on spot. So let's hope it's a cooler and wetter season and that the federal sequester doesn't measurably impact their ability to put out wildfire.
I'm talking to Peter Goldmark. He's the Commissioner of Public Lands in Washington State, and among his responsibilities are taking care of wildfires. Here on the wet side of the state, it's been a very wet past few weeks. What's the forecast here for wildfires as opposed to eastern Washington?
So the whole state, according to the National Weather Service, will be somewhat warmer and drier than normal. So last year, if you could recall, there were some starts of wildfires in western Washington toward the end of the fire season in late September and October. You may remember that the fire season started late last year in early August with the Taylor Bridge fire and then went on for over 85 days and only stopped in mid-October. And it was unusual in the sense that there was no break to that. There was no precipitation. It was hot and dry all over the state. Importantly, the fuels in western Washington did get dried out, even the larger fuels, so that when fires started, they were very fast burning and very difficult to put out. Let's hope that doesn't start again, because there is a tremendous amount of fuel in the forests of western Washington.
Peter Goldmark, a lot of people like to live in the woods or near the woods, and we see a lot more single-family homes. We even see big developments in what were formerly forested areas. How does that make the question of wildfires more complex for you as the guy who's in charge of preventing them and then fighting them?
It does make a difference, and we have been promoting a program called FireWise, which is to help landowners and homeowners go in and create a defensible space around their home so they keep the fuels away, they don't stack wood against their home, and even better than that is to clad their homes both on the roof and on the outside with a non-burnable material, such as metal on the roof and such as metal on the siding. That can make a huge difference in terms of how vulnerable that home is to wildfire if it approaches. It is a problem when all these homes get built in the forest, and so we're trying to encourage homeowners, if they do build in the forest, to be smart about it.
What about local governments, though? Are they being too permissive in permitting and allowing this construction in forested areas that could pose a danger, particularly in years like this when we could have a bad wildfire season?
It does have a potential impact when development is allowed to interweave with the forest. And yes, we at DNR have concerns about that, but it's up to the local jurisdictions, usually the county, to set building codes and to set zoning codes that sets the number of homes that are built in a dispersed manner away from normal development. So that is an issue.
This is a tough issue. I mean, areas want to grow. They want more taxable property on the rolls. Do you approach them directly to say, you know, you might want to reconsider zoning that area residential because it's going to cause problems down the line? Do you actually talk to them about that?
So that's a local issue.
Yes.
And their local municipal fire protection districts, I'm sure, dialogue with them about these issues. But we have to recognize, I mean, people like to live in the forest. It's a very calming, a very nice place to live. And so if people can get the opportunity, they move in there. They just need to take the precautions to make sure their homes are not vulnerable to wildfire.
There's been a lot of talk of something that's dubbed mega wildfires. Does that term mean anything to you who actually go out and fight them? Is that a real thing?
Last year, we had large fires that burned in such a fashion that they merged together. So I'm not sure mega is an appropriate term, but we had the Wenatchee complex, we had the Okanagan complex, and we had the Yakima complex. These were many small fires that started from a very bad dry lightning storm that happened in early September. There were literally hundreds of wildfires that started on the eastern slope of the Cascades. Many of those merged into these large complex fires. If you wanted to to label a fire a complex fire, or a mega fire for that matter, those fit that description. And they literally were not put out until it started to rain and snow.
You know, we were talking about fire suppression tactics ahead of time a little bit earlier. Are those the kind of things that prevent smaller fires from merging into a so-called mega fire?
They might. But more importantly, when lightning strikes, you're going to get a fire. But if you do your fuels work ahead of time, the fire stays down on the ground, stays out of the crown of the trees. And because of that, it's much less destructive and it's much cheaper to suppress and put out. So the short answer to your question is yes. You have a good opportunity to actually put the fire out before it merges and makes a mega or a large complex fire. But most importantly, it makes it easier to protect the communities and protect the resources. That's our responsibility.
Big picture, are our forest practices in general the way they need to be to forestall this from happening in coming years? There are lots of concerns about global climate change and what that might mean in the future. Are our forest practices up to scale with what needs to be done to prevent things from getting worse down the line?
We've got a lot of work to do.
Give me some examples of what needs to be done.
So last year, I declared a forest health hazard warning that covered parts of Okanagan, Ferry, Yakima, and Klickitat County. These were areas that were identified by a technical team that I assembled to advise me about where the forest health conditions were worst in the state. And by forest health, we mean where we have overcrowded stands and insects and drought have caused a lot of death in the forest. And so if you have healthy trees intermixed with dead and dying trees, you've got a conflagration waiting to happen.
So now you know where they are. What are you doing about it?
So we're going in, and the legislature has helped us with capital dollars to go in and do restoration forestry and fuels work to pull out the dead and dying material, leave an adequate spacing of the trees, the correct trees there as well, which usually is ponderosa pine because it's insect resistant and fire resistant because of its thick bark. So we leave the trees spaced appropriately and we take out the overburden of dead and dying trees and excess fuel. So then if fire starts, as I said earlier, it may burn brush and grass, but it won't get up into the trees.
Your budget, all budgets have been squeezed at the state level. It's not just the federal level. Have you had enough money to go in and do that necessary work in these fire-prone areas?
So in the 2012 legislative session, we received $4 million from the legislature to do this type of work. I've asked for $10 million for this coming biennium.
And how's that going?
Well, the legislature is receptive, and I hope they fulfill my request because there are literally millions of acres in eastern Washington to restore and to treat with fuels. But importantly, this gets back to the issue you raised earlier. We really need our land partner, the Forest Service, to do their work in a proactive manner to address forest health as well on their land. So we don't have state and private land that's in good condition and the federal land is then in a very poor condition.
Meaning you need the federal government to get its act together when it comes to controlling their portion of this.
Forest health is a big issue on all forests in eastern Washington. I might add it's particularly bad on the Forest Service ground. So we need them to get their share of the work done. Yes.
Peter Goldmark is the State Lands Commissioner in Washington State. Thank you so much for stopping by again. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.